Thank you, Jerry, and Dean and Albert were put in charge of today, so that's why we're thanking them also. I guess they thought it'd be cute to have a husband and wife teach. So far, it seems pretty cute, doesn't it? You can go to Ephesians 4:32. 4:32. I wonder if that phrase, have a cow, came from that verse that Carol read about. Make us something to calf. Like, the voice of the Lord makes him have a cow. Do you think? Thank you, Joe. I'm going to teach on this verse today, Ephesians 4:32. It says, don't be kind one to another, tenderhearted, or forgive one another. Be a good Christian. No. It says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The first word in here is and. You know what that is? It's a word. I said it. I gave you a hint. But yeah, who said a conjunction? Yep, it's a conjunction. Remember that old conjunction, junction, what's your function? Well, what is the function of, thank you, Jerry. What is the function of a conjunction? It connects sentences or Santa Clauses. No. Jeez, Pam just spit out her cookie. Are you supposed to be eating cookies? Oh, well. A conjunction is used to connect a sentence or clause, and the sentence that this conjunction connects to is verse 31. Verse 31 is, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And, see how it connects them? Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It's kind of like what not to be in verse 31 and what to be in verse 32. And let's read what not to be first. Let all what? Bitterness. Bitterness is to be angry, hurt, or resentful because of one's bad experiences. Like you went to dinner somewhere at a restaurant and the waiter dropped your food. And so now you're angry for the rest of your life because the waiter dropped the food, right? You had a bad experience at the restaurant. Has that ever happened to anybody? And you're still mad about it to this day? No. It's stuff that makes you mad, or you have a bad experience, or you're not treated fairly, and it makes you angry, and you just stay angry, and you become bitter about it. And a bitter root produces bitter fruit. There's a little poem for you. A bitter root produces what? Bitter fruit. So you don't hang on to things that, you know, you might have felt like you weren't treated fairly or you had a bad experience. The other one is wrath. And wrath is the working and fermenting of the mind. It's like when your mind is just bubbling about stuff that makes you mad, right? And it usually results in where you blow up, right? Like you might be thinking about that waiter who brought you the wrong food, and you think about it for like a week. That waiter was so unfair. I ordered a hamburger and they brought me a hot dog. It was horrible. And you're thinking about it, and then your wife says, have a nice day. Shut up! I'll have a nice day if I want a nice day! Am I really mad at my wife for saying have a nice day? I'm mad about a hot dog I was served a week before, right? That's wrath, where it just boils in there. And anger is a strong feeling of annoyance, displeasure or hostility with a desire for revenge. This is where you get really annoyed or mad about something and you want to get back. And so you think about, how can I show that person what a jerk they are? What can I say? What can I do? Thinking about that kind of stuff. Why is he talking? No. And clamor, this is a good one, is crying out or screaming. Ah! Or shouting or wailing of sorrow. We might call it complaining. Complaining. You ever heard anybody complain? Yeah. Isn't it a blessing? Of course, I never complain, but I've heard of other people who complain. And I know when they complain, it doesn't bless me, but I don't complain. And evil speaking is slander. That's to say bad things about people. And then it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. And to be put away means to take up and carry out. It's kind of like your garbage, right? What if you never emptied your garbage? What would your house look like? Well, that's what my house looks like. Because it's not fair that I have to empty the garbage, so I just left it. And it's been there for 2 years now. All the garbage from 2 years. Now, what do you think my house smells like?
Garbage.
What do you think it looks like?
Garbage.
Well, that's what your mind looks like if you don't pick up the stuff and take it out, right? When you find yourself thinking about stuff that makes you bitter or angry, or you find yourself thinking about somebody that you're mad at, and or you want to complain about stuff, or you want to talk bad things about somebody, and you just keep doing that, it's like you have a bunch of garbage in your mind, right? And it produces bad fruit. And so whenever those things come up in your mind, you pick them up and what? Take them out. And that means quit thinking about it. That's not so hard, is it? Maybe if you want to say something bad about somebody, say something good instead, right? But when those things come into your mind, you just say, no, I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm not going to keep thinking about that. I'm going to put that garbage outside, right? I'm going to make a coloring book of bad thoughts and put it in the coloring book or something like that. That wouldn't be good, would it?
No.
That was for the kids. Okay. Be put away from you with all malice. And malice is wanting to cause harm or suffering or distress, wanting to hurt people. And sometimes when you get mad, you just want to hurt someone, don't you? That's not right. That's not right. Look at Romans 8. That's the end of the teaching. No. Romans 8. Did anyone drink this water? Romans 8. Verse 22. It says, for we know that the whole world, whole creation, groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You know, have you noticed that life is hard? Well, it says the whole creation, what? Groans and travaileth in pain together until now. Life is really hard. And the tendency for people is to get bitter and angry and complain all the time and stuff like that. Because things don't always go your way, do they? People do mean things and stuff like that. Look at Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And wrestle is a struggle, a struggle. This life is a struggle. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Is our struggle against people? No, it's against other spiritual realities. The rulers of the darkness of this world. The spiritual wickedness in high places. But it is a struggle. Life is a struggle. And it can make you bitter and angry and sad and complain and stuff like that. And yet God says, just put that stuff out. Look at Galatians 1. Verse 4, it says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this Disneyland-like world. Right? No, it says it's an evil world. We live in an evil world, and that means it's full of labors, full of hardships. It causes pain and sorrow. It is a world like that. That's why you do want to teach your kids to handle hardship maybe and be tough sometimes and, you know, handle struggle, handle pressure and everything like that. Because we do have a lot of pressure. Most of us do, right? In this life. And yet we can't let the pressure and the negatives of the world, the things that the adversary causes, to make us bitter or wrathful or anger or complain all the time or say bad things about people all the time or sometimes or just, you know, have an ill will towards people. We want to be above that. We want to be imitators of God. And in Ephesians 4, verse 32, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another. The word be is become or begin to be. Become a kind person. Everyone here has the right to be mad at somebody and be bitter about somebody because people are kind of weak, aren't they? Except for me, but other people that I've met. And people like make a lot of mistakes, don't they? I'll bet you've had your feelings hurt at least twice if you're over 30. You think? And yet God says, instead of being all bitter and wrathful and angry, become kind. Become kind. And kind is pleasant. be a pleasant person, as opposed to hard, sharp, or bitter. It means gentle, benevolent, and benevolent means you do kind things, you do good things. Benevolent, actively beneficent in spite of ingratitude. Even if people don't deserve it, you're kind to them and you do kind things to them. Anybody see Star Wars yesterday?
No.
Nobody? No one will admit to it. Huh? What'd she say? All right. Did what's her name turn to the dark side? First Corinthians 13. Well, did she or not? I lied. First, don't be bitter. You don't have to trust me ever again, but just don't be bitter, okay? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Charity, that's the love of God, suffereth long and is what? Loving, love is kind, and that means gentle, mild, pleasant, doing good things for people, even if they don't deserve it. Now you can go to Luke. Luke Skywalker. He's always kind. He's the nicest. He wasn't bitter. Luke 6:35. But love ye your enemies and do good. Love who?
Enemies.
Love your enemies but hate the believers. Is that what that? It says love your enemies. That's the love of God. To love people who, one of the translations is, are odious. Love the odious. Love your enemies and do what? Do good things. We're supposed to be like Carol taught. And yes, we are related. We're married to each other. The glory of the Lord. And we're supposed to reflect God's glory. We're supposed to show people what God is like here on this earth. And so we do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. Talking about God. For he is what? God is kind. And that's the same word. He's benevolent. He does good things for people, even when they don't deserve it. He's really kind. He's pleasant, gentle. He wouldn't ever hurt anybody. He's benign. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. So your heavenly Father, he's kind. To who? Unthankful people. He's kind to evil people. People who cause pain and sorrow. He's kind to. That's what your Father is like. Look at John 2. Verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. So they had no wine. Weird marriage, right? No wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? And you shouldn't say that to your parents, kids. Your mom says to do something, do not say, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, listen to her though, what? Just do what he says. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth the good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine, what? So they didn't start out with no wine, they ran out of wine, right? Verse 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. This is his first miracle. What was the point of it? to have fun. I don't know, but it was really kind, wasn't it? That's an example of kindness, just to do good things. That was just a really nice thing to do, wasn't it? I don't know if the wine got them all born again or, you know, if it was, or whatever, but it was really kind. And that's the idea of kindness, just to do kind things for people. When Carol was reading about the birth of Jesus Christ, the angel said, on earth, peace, what? Ill will towards men, right? No, what? Goodwill. To have goodwill, to want people to have a blessed life and to do what you can to help them to have a blessed life. You know, to do kind things, to stay away from things that would hurt people or cause them pain or extra sorrow or something like that. Just to do some kind things. I'm sure we saw a lot of kindness during the break, didn't we? Like people helping each other out, giving each other a cookie maybe, wiping milk off your face or something like that. But we just try to, instead of being bitter and angry and wrathful, complaining, talking about everybody, we try to do kind things. That's how you replace those thoughts. What can I do that's kind? What can I do that would bless somebody or help somebody? Look at Luke 22. No, we can pass that one up. The next word in Ephesians 4:32, be kind. Remember what the next one was? Tender-hearted. And tender-hearted means compassionate. Tenderly or yearningly affectionate. Concerned for the suffering of others. And if you have compassion, it bothers you if someone's in pain. It bothers you if they're sad or if they're sick or if they have some great need. And you want to help them. That's what compassionate is. Look at Psalm 111. So have some compassion, you know? Have some fellow feeling. Most people are just like you, kind of crazy and emotional and weak. And they all make mistakes. So instead of, you know, being mad about it all the time, have some compassion for them, you know? You probably have made a mistake too. I know I made one once. And it caused me to go bald. And I don't... Yeah, I rubbed the wrong kind of cream on my head. Psalm 111, verse 4. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and what? Full of compassion. And gracious means he's good-willed. He wants to do good things, like kind. And compassion is full of compassion. He's tender. And it says, one of the definitions is, he's tender like parents toward their infant children. Have you noticed how now when the kids get to be a little bigger, maybe it's not the same, but when the kids are little, like, have you noticed the little kids that they carry around? Not they, the parents in this room, they're not theys. But have you noticed there's people here carrying around little kids? How are they with that kid? Oh, look at that. He has eyes. Oh. Are they critical? Like, quit your fingers. Straighten them out. And you can use this example when this meeting is over. Just watch how they are with their infant kids, those people who have them. Right? It's like, you never had a kid before? But that's me. But it's like, they just love those kids, don't they? And can they do anything? You know, do they mind anything about them? They just love them. And God is like that. That's verse 4. Full of compassion. He just loves you as much as like you were like his infant kid. And that's a way to not be angry at someone or wrathful. Just have compassion for them. Just love them. Just love them like a parent loves his kids. Look at Matthew 8. Not like a parent loves his teenage kids. Like the infant kids. Or how about grandparents? I'm thinking of Jay with her grandkids. They're like, aww. Matthew 8. What's the whole thing with the... Oh, never mind. That's private. But Nia's now a biker girl? Oh. I think it looks cool. I thought it was cool. Sorry. Matthew 8. Please don't be mad at me. Matthew 8, verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. This is Jesus Christ. And behold, there came a leopard and worshipped him. No, a leper. There came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And you know, a leper No one would ever touch him because it was contagious. So this guy probably hadn't been touched in years and years and years. And no one would even come close to him. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. And that word touched means to fasten oneself to adhere to cling to. Can you imagine that picture? Here's a leper, and he says to Jesus Christ, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And he gives him a big hug. That's an example of tender-hearted compassion, right? Jesus Christ was very compassionate. The guy probably hadn't been touched, like I said, in years and years, and he just hugged him. That's the picture. You know, God is very compassionate, and Jesus Christ was very compassionate, very tender-hearted. And that's another way to not hold your anger, is just have some compassion. Be tender-hearted, you know. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." He hugged him and said, "I will, I want you to be whole, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was what? Cleansed. It was cleansed. That's an example. And then the next one was, be kind one to another, tender-hearted. What was that one?
Forgiving.
Forgiving one another. There's a lot of stuff in the Bible about forgiveness, isn't there? I don't think the Bible was written for a group of perfect people, because they wouldn't need the forgiveness, would they? I think it's written for wacky, crazy people who are sometimes mean and sometimes stupid. Sometimes. And this word for forgiving means to do a person a favor. If you want to give someone a nice gift this holiday season, forgive them. How about that? Do a person a favor. Okay, this Christmas, after 20 years, I've decided to forgive you. No. Do a person a favor. Be kind or gracious. That's what it means. It means to remit a person's debt or sin, to pardon or forgive graciously. And instead of like being bitter or angry or wrathful, complaining about something or, you know, talking bad, just forgive them. Forgive them. Become a forgiving person. Nehemiah 9. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Nehemiah 9, verse 16. Talking about Israel and God's relationship to them. "But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks, and hearken not to thy commandments." So they didn't listen to God. They didn't listen to his commandments and refused to obey. They wouldn't obey. "Neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them." They forgot all the cool things he had done for them. "But hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage." They appointed a captain to take them back to Egypt. They wouldn't listen to God. They forgot all the cool things he did. The end of the phrase, "a captain," appointed a captain to return to their bondage. "But thou art a God ready to pardon." God is a God ready to pardon. And that means forgiving. To give up resentment. To give up resentment. And if you think about somebody and resent them, you haven't forgiven them. To give up resentment against anyone. And the desire to punish. And it says God is, those guys were, you know, horrible. And God is a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great what? Kindness. And he what? He didn't forsake them. He took care of them. He kept taking care of them, even though they were so horrible. He kept taking care of them. Look, verse 18. Carol mentioned this. "Yea, when they had made them a molten calf and said, 'This is thy God that brought thee up out of Egypt.'" They even made a calf out of gold and called that God after God had gotten them out of Egypt. "Yea, when they had made them a molten calf and said, 'This is thy God that brought thee up out of Egypt,' and had wrought great provocations, yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them on the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go." So God didn't forsake those guys. Even though they were horrible and called a statue God, and they turned their back on him, he never forsook them. You know, you see Christians who forsake each other because they disagree on 12 verses or something like that. God never forsook those people. Of course, if the Bible's right. Verse 20, he kept feeding them. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. He kept taking care of them. He kept feeding them. He kept giving them water. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked what?
Nothing.
Nothing. They lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old. The ladies didn't like that, but still, their clothes waxed not old, and their feet smelled not.
No.
Their feet what? God forgave them, and he kept taking care of them. That's forgiveness. That's the love of God. It's unconditional. You can't lose it. You don't have to earn it, and you can't lose that love. Look at Luke 23. God is very forgiving, and we count on that, don't we? There's a correlation in the Word, if you want to look at it, between knowing how much you've been forgiven for it and how much you love, if you want to look that up sometime. Luke 23, verse 33, or 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. They crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And Jesus said, Father, kill them now.
Yeah.
Now think about that. This really, these are the people who nailed him to the tree, right? Who are killing him. And what did he say? Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. When's the last time you got nailed to a tree? Right? Never, right? But Jesus Christ forgave those people. He was very forgiving, like his Father. Matthew 18. Verse 21. I love this. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? What's your limit? Mine's about two. And this actually means do something bad to you, you know, sin against me. How many times are you supposed to forgive him? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until what?
Seven.
And that just means a lot. So, according to Jesus Christ, how often are you supposed to forgive somebody? A lot. A lot. And you know who makes you maddest, probably? The people you see the most, right? Because people are annoying sometimes, aren't they? And they do make you angry. And you got to forgive people a lot. You're going to have to forgive people a lot your whole life. So just decide you're going to forgive people a whole lot your whole life. Or you can be like my father became. He just was by himself all the time. You want to do that? Become a hermit? And then try to unite all the hermits together in a movement? Mark 11. I was reading this the other day, and I just thought this was interesting. It's different administration. This is before Jesus Christ died for our sins. But in Mark 11, verse 22, remember this? And Jesus answering saith unto him, have faith in God, right? Believe God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Remember those verses? And then he says, and when you stand, right after that, and when you stand praying, what? Forgive. Isn't that amazing? While you're praying for stuff, forgive. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Just forgive them. And this is this administration, not ours, because we're forgiven no matter what. But look at what he says. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive what? Now, that's the Christ administration. Whether you forgive people or not, you're forgiven, right? But look at, sort of interesting that he would say that, right? That from God's perspective, you should forgive people. I think you could say that, right? And that's sort of the ABCs of one of the very most basic things of being a believer, isn't it? You've been forgiven. Jesus Christ gave his life to pay for your sins, right? You have the right to stand before God without any consciousness of sin, guilt, or shortcomings. What about the people around you? Can they stand in your presence without any consciousness of sin, guilt, or shortcomings? Yes. Do you know why? Because they never make mistakes. And as long as they don't make a mistake, they can be righteous, right? No. That's just the ABCs. Go to Colossians. I was at Costco. I no longer go to Walmart. I go to Costco. And I was talking to the two ladies checking me out, and they both said that what? They weren't checking me out. The verse that I say to myself a lot now is, I have been young and now I'm old. I haven't been checked out in about 20 years, so it's okay. They were scanning my goods so that I could pay for them, all right? They were scanning my goods. Put it that way. Okay? Scanning my goods. And they were talking about when families get together for Christmas, how everybody in their families has grudges against each other. And it's just the worst day of the year because there's an uncle everyone's mad at or someone everyone's mad at all the time. And I just thought, well, that's because, you know, that's the way families can be. But if you're going to be in a family, you have to have a lot of what?
Forgiveness.
How was that pirouette or whatever eating? How was that, good? Looks good. Colossians 3. Feel like I'm a movie. I'm not a TV show. This is real. This is real. Colossians 3. Verse 13, it says, forbearing one another and what? Forgive each other. Who says that? God. He forgives you. Jesus Christ gave his life so that you could have forgiveness of sins, paid for all of them. The other guys have their sins forgiven too. Sometimes it seems like people have a whole list of, they're like the prosecuting attorney of human beings. And they have a whole list of what's wrong with everybody. And if you just mention a name, they'll tell you what's wrong with them. Well, take that to God and give it to him. Say, this is what's wrong with this guy. And then go read Romans 8, is it, where it says, who shall lay what? Anything. Who is he that condemneth? It is. Take it to Jesus Christ. Take your list to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will say, wasn't that on my cross? Didn't I die for all those? You know? And so it says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, then it's okay to be bitter, wrathful, angry, to speak evil, and to complain about them. No. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, what? So also, well, that's what God says. Back in Ephesians. So just be a blessing. Be a blessing to people. Be kind to people. Be tenderhearted. Be compassionate with people. And you got to forgive them. You're going to have to forgive, you know, maybe the person you think is just the greatest person in the world. You're so in love with them. You're going to have to forgive them a bunch of times in their life. You are. And we're supposed to be forgiving people. In Ephesians 4, 32, it says, and be, 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And then in chapter 5, verse 1, be ye therefore what? Followers of God as dear children. Be like your father. Be like your father. Be kind. Be tenderhearted. Be forgiving. All right? So I'll pray and then whatever. Father, thank you so much for your kindness to us and your love for us. Thanks that we know that you're such a tender God and that you just love us so much. And thank you for this wonderful family that we have here. And thanks for taking care of everybody during the holidays. And just thanks for blessing us all. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.